from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported outreach. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, and I want to encourage you to visit our ministry website, where you can find an abundance of digital audio, video, and print resources. It's all available at djkm.org. A parable is a brief story illustrating a universal truth. Generally, the narrative is simple, in that it depicts a set of circumstances and actions whose resulting outcome emphasizes an important principle or truth. A parable often represents a moral dilemma, emphasizing a precept that ought to guide our thinking about right and wrong. The parables of Jesus were unequaled examples in this regard. They were succinct, easily identifiable, and established an important truth. And Jesus' parables resonated with the audiences that first heard them, as well as with those of us living in these latter days. Dr. Kennedy used to say that a parable contains a great spiritual truth clothed in earthly garb. Well, we have an extraordinary parable for you today, one that may help explain the contemporary refrain, "Let's put Christ back in Christmas," which begs the question, how was Christ ever taken out of Christmas in the first place? Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his modern parable, Mary Tifton.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second chapter of Matthew and also from 2 Corinthians. May we hear the word of God beginning with verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. The inspired word of the living God. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And in Corinthians it says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Amen. One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century was Dr. Clarence McCartney of the famed First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He preached fairly early in his career a sermon which became the favorite of his congregation. And they requested him to preach it over and over again. In fact, they requested him to preach it every year. And for several decades, he preached this sermon, "Come Before Winter," every single year. Well, over 30 years ago, I preached a sermon entitled Mary Tifton. And that has probably been the most popular message I've given because I have been requested to do it over and over again. In fact, I have been asked to preach it every Christmas season. From that, I have demurred. However, I have preached it about every 5 or 6 years for over 30 years, and this is one of those days. The modern parable of Christmas, Mary Tifton. Long ago, in a land across the sea and far away, there lived a man by the name of John Beresforth Tifton, a man whose wealth was so vast it was beyond the dreams of avarice. And he had a very unusual habit, a strikingly strange custom indeed, that now and again he would, based upon some criteria known only to him, select an individual and bestow upon him a gift of $1 million. Not only that, but he would adopt them into his family, he would bestow upon them his name and make them his heirs. All of this was accomplished through his personal secretary, a Mr. Michael Anthony, who was easily identified by the bowler hat he always wore, by the umbrella under his arm, and the briefcase in his hand which carried a cashier's check for the gift, $1 million. Well, the practice continued. At first there were a few dozen, and then scores and hundreds, and finally several thousands of people had received the gift. Mr. Tifton ultimately died and left instructions in his will that from the vast holdings of his estate, this practice was to be continued. So over the decades and the several centuries that practice, there were literally thousands of Tiftons beyond the land where he lived and around the world who had unexpectedly, astonishingly received the gift. Now, back in his native land, where there were many recipients, they decided they ought to do something to try to remember the great benefactor that had so astonishingly transformed their lives. So they decided to remember his birth. And on the day of his birth, they had a celebration. They had songs that they sang, which they had composed about him. They had their Tifton cards, which contained paintings and pictures of Mr. Tifton and all that he had done that was good. They indeed wrote books about him and rejoiced in his munificence and his kindness toward them. Well, something happened finally that was to change all of that forever. And interestingly, it took place right here in America. It seems that some Americans who had no idea who Tiftons were or who Mr. Tifton was heard about a party that was being celebrated on Tifton Eve. They overheard some people discussing it and they asked them about what this was. Explain to us, what is Tifton Day? They didn't know anything about it, naturally, because they had not received the gift. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, we're having a Tifton Eve party tonight at this address. Why don't you come and you'll have it explained to you completely. So they decided to go. Before that, however, they had noticed as they had arrived just recently in America, in New York, they had wondered if they would find any Tiftons. And they were amazed and their wondering eyes beheld a sign in a department store window that said, Tifton Eve specials, one half off. And they said, wonderful, we have found a brother. Let's go in and meet him. And they looked at the name of the store and they found that it wasn't Tifton, it was someone named Macy, whoever that might be. They wondered why he hadn't named it after himself. He'd obviously used his $1 million quite well. Just as they started to enter the door, they heard across the street somebody cry out, Mary Tifton. They turned to see who it was, and then from their side of the street there was a response, Mary Tifton, and soon from everywhere there was shouted out, Mary Tifton, and a Happy New Year. They were astonished and said, "Brother, can you believe the number of people that Mr. Tifton has blessed? Here in America, we've never seen anything like it back in our native land." But they decided they'd go to the Tifton Eve party and maybe they could find out exactly what was happening. So they showed up in the specified address, and there was a large house with about 20 or 30 people in it. There was a band that was playing. There was singing. There was dancing. There was drinking. There was the tinkling of glasses, the beating of drums, and it was a very merry time. There were even several people who were staggering around as if they were drunk. And they said to themselves, "I don't believe Mr. Tifton would have been pleased by that kind of conduct. But we'll see what Americans have done with it." Because they not only had heard about Tifton Eve and they went to that party, but also they'd told their friends and told other friends, and first thing you know, Tifton Eve and Tifton Day were being celebrated all over America. In fact, believe it or not, they made Tifton Day a national holiday. And these two men who have happened to have just come over from the land where Tifton lived, where the celebration was confined only to those who had received the gift and the name, were amazed. They looked at the Tifton cards on the mantelpiece in this large home and were even more astounded to find that they virtually never even mentioned Mr. Tifton. There were no paintings or pictures of him. There was a fat man in a green suit, and there were three chipmunks and reindeer, red nose, and they couldn't figure it out. What were these Tifton cards? What was this Tifton celebration that was going on in America? They decided to ask a man. They said, "Excuse me, sir, but we're from across the sea, and we're trying to figure out what Tifton Day here in America is all about. I assume you're Mr. Tifton?" "No, no, my name is Benny Bootstraps. I really don't know too much about it, but as best I understand, he was a man that was very, very wealthy. He had earned a vast amount of money and gave away presents to lots of people. His life story is written down in a book. Almost everybody's got a copy of it at home. Many people don't read it, but it's there. I read a few pages once. It seems to me the idea was that he got rich by certain principles that he explains in this book, and if we would simply learn them and follow them, then perhaps we too could get rich. Why we might even become millionaires." And our two friends were astonished. This is what Tifton Day has degenerated into in America, a do-it-yourself kind of a thing. They decided to ask somebody else. They said, "Excuse me, sir, we're very confused. I wonder if you could explain what Tifton Day is all about. I assume you're a Tifton." "Hey, no, no," he said, "my name is Tommy Tradition. And you want to know what Tifton Day is? Well, it's a great tradition that we have here in America. Maybe you don't have it back where you came from, but it's a wonderful tradition. I've celebrated Tifton Day all my life. When I was a little kid, I used to put my Tifton stockings up on the mantle, and we all exchanged Tifton gifts and Tifton cards and put the presents under the Tifton tree. It was just a wonderful time. And of course, it took place in the middle of winter, which was pretty dreary, and it lightened things up a bit. And that's what it is. It's a tradition, you see. I guess I could just say to you that it's tradition." And he walked away, leaving them even more amazed. They decided to make one more effort, and they saw a man that was obviously well-dressed, because they had been astounded at the people they had seen out on the street. And one of them said to the other, "Dear brother, did you notice those people this afternoon that were shouting Mary Tifton? Why, I didn't want to say anything, but some of them, well, they looked like paupers. How could they have been Tiftons? What did they do with their $1 million? And they said, "Excuse me, Mr. Tifton, we're named Tifton also." And he said, "Well, that's not my name. My name is Mick Mythology. You're Tiftons, huh? Well, you must get a lot of kidding about that, about this time of year. They said, well, actually, no. Where we came from, it was an honor. Well, could you explain to us what Tifton Day means here in America? Well, I'm not an expert by any means, but as I understand it, supposedly, there lived a man long ago that gave all kinds of presents to people, and we got the idea from that and decided that since it did take place in the midst of winter, it'd be a good idea and bring a little cheer into the world. So we exchanged gifts ourselves, you know, handkerchiefs and ties and pajamas and shirts and toiletries, that sort of thing. But actually, there are some people that really believe that such a man lived. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, no, I personally don't believe it. You know, with our modern scientific technology, we've pretty well proved that it's all a myth, that he never really existed. But as I said, it's a good idea, and so we continue with the practice. And he walked away as well, leaving our two friends from Tifton's native land utterly astounded. And just at that time, there came a knocking at the door. And nobody heard it because of the sound of the music and the laughter. And finally, again, a louder knock. Still, nobody heard it. And then, surprisingly to them, the door slowly opened. And there, standing at the door, was the obvious perennial descendant of Michael Anthony. You could tell by the bowler hat, the umbrella under his arm, and the briefcase in his hand. And they said, smashing! Somebody is going to receive the gift right here tonight. And then they'll understand what Tifton Day is all about. And Mr. Anthony stepped into the room and said, excuse me, may I have... But there was a burst of laughter from the other side of the room, and his voice was completely drowned out. So he came farther into the room and tried again, a little louder. Pardon me, may I have your attention? I have... Still, nobody heard and nobody paid him any mind. And so he went up to the closest man and accosted him by saying, pardon me, sir, but you see, I represent... Hey, Mac, knock it off, will you? We don't do business on Tifton Eve. Come and see me on Monday morning. Here, have a drink. And he shoved a cocktail in the man's hand. And there Michael Anthony stood with a briefcase in one hand and a cocktail in the other, himself utterly befuddled by what was happening. Finally, he set the drink down on the table and quietly exited the room. No more noticed when he left than he was when he entered. And nobody received the gift. But the party went on uninterrupted. Well, there you have it. That's my modern parable of Christmas. I hope that all of you know what is the great spiritual truth that is clothed in that physical garb, that you understand what the real gift actually is. I am sure there are many millions of people in this country that wouldn't have a clue. And I would like to ask you this Christmas Sunday, have you received the gift? I mean the real gift. Some of you are puzzled by that. Received it, you don't even know what it is. Well, dear friends, our text is thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And what is it? The Scripture declares the gift of God is eternal life. That is one of the most astonishing things I've ever heard. Stated in another way, the most amazing sentence that I ever learned as a young man was just three words long: heaven is free. I guarantee you that probably 40% of the American people don't know that at all. They think, like I did, that it's something which is earned or deserved or worked for or merited in some way, but it's not. The God of all grace, vastly more wealthy than Mr. Tifton and vastly more gracious, bestows it upon those who are undeserving, who are ill-deserving, who are hell-deserving, such as I. That is the gift of everlasting life. And amazing to tell, it is free. It is actually a gift. Nothing that we could ever deserve or ever be worthy of, purely because of the goodness of God and His grace and His love to us. Have you received that gift? Everlasting, never-ending life. Did you ever think that if a pharmaceutical company came out with a pill that was guaranteed to grant to those that took it 200 years of robust, healthy, vital life, there would be a line from New York to Los Angeles of people waiting to buy it, and they would pay almost anything they had to get it, wouldn't they? And yet Christ offers us 200 million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, eons of centuries of time, and then you've just begun. And He offers it free. The gift of God is eternal life. Oh, yes, someone had to pay for it. He did on the cross, having had imputed to Him our guilt and sins and transgressions, and having endured in His own body and soul a punishment that we cannot even begin to comprehend, having endured the wrath of Almighty God, and having paid it all, He said, "It is paid. It is finished. It is done." In My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And He went to Calvary, to that blood-drenched, blackened hill. And there, in the blackness of midnight at noon, the wrath of God fell upon His beloved Son as our substitute and our Savior. And the payment was made in full. His last comment before commending His soul to the Father was, "It is paid. It is done. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full." And offered to us who will receive Him into our hearts. Where is this life eternal? It is in that one who is life itself. And we're told that in Him was life, and the life was the light of the world. And when we receive Christ, we receive eternal life. Has He come to be born in your heart to bring the gift of eternal life? Do you know that you are going to live forever? Or is the grave still the ultimate horror? Is death an infinite blackness into which you will leap with tremendous terror? Or do you realize you will simply step through a door into paradise and into the arms of Christ? That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the gift of eternal life. If you don't know that, you can receive it this very hour. You can ask Him to come in, because, dear friend, He is knocking at your heart right now. Will you open to Him and invite Him in? If not, I guess the only thing I can say to you is Mary Tifton. May we pray. Father, I pray that some will hear the sound of your knocking as you come in Jesus Christ, offering to bring eternal life to those that will place their trust in you, who will abandon all ideas of their own goodness or worthiness and realize that by your unmerited grace, you bestow the gift upon those who are utterly undeserving. May many say to you right now, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. I want to be a real Christian. Adopt me into your family, grant unto me your name, and make me your heir, the heir of everlasting life. I put my trust in you. My only hope of heaven is no longer myself, but you, O Christ. I repent of my sins. Help me to turn from them out of gratitude to thee and in love to thee, to endeavor to walk before thee in a manner pleasing in your eyes. And I thank you, O Christ, and ever will, for the gift of eternal life. In thy name, amen.
If you just prayed that prayer with Dr. Kennedy, you've just begun a new adventure as a member of the family of God. And we have a special gift that we'd like to send to help you as you begin your walk with Christ. It's a book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. It's called Beginning Again, and it will help you grow in your faith. You'll learn how to study the Bible and how to pray. You'll even find answers to tough questions and much more. To receive Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
What better message could there be as we strive this week to keep Christ in Christmas? If you would like a copy of this program on DVD or CD to share with family and friends or for yourself, we'll be glad to send you one as our thanks for a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 888-332-3069 or go online to djkm.org. And please include a generous gift toward the ongoing work of the ministry. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Kennedy Classics. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.